Let's back up and just say, what have I focused on this week? Well, for one, I thought about Greg Harden, and his day at the mill was Friday. And I knew that. Jan had put out a sweet post, and I said a prayer for Greg Friday. And I went to Wade's retirement party on Wednesday, before church, Wednesday. I was at his retirement party. And then I had, last night, we were building up to a wedding that I had to do. That was in Billingsley, outside. Wow, it was hot. Yeah, I was, needless to say, I got to get the suit dry cleaned. I've only got one mic, so I mean, I really take care of that suit. I'm working on building up my collection, but I've got one right now that I really like, and it was hot, and it made me think about, as I was preparing for everything, rehearsal dinner, and Greg, and Wednesday, and Wednesday night, for our Wednesday night service, we had talked about Nehemiah a little bit, and we had talked about all the provisions he had made to the king, but how God had led him to do that, and how he had gotten all of his stuff, and he was going to rebuild. And it really focused on new chapters in our lives, just like what Wade is starting, and what Greg is starting, and what Kelsey and Chance are starting too with their new marriage. And I encouraged them so hard last night. If you'll imagine your compass and you imagine the two points of it, and to know that God's the number one point. He's the master. And your second point is working on your marriage. That's your second point. But if you can keep those two together, you will be successful in your marriage. It takes those two, though, to always point. So it made me think about us as a church and where we're at. We've been so blessed with the people. The congregation is growing, and it does our hearts. It does mine and Leslie and Trey's hearts so good to see people in here, because it boosts our spirits too. It makes us excited. So in these next couple of weeks, we're going to start really promoting church. And we're going to start inviting people. And I'm going to challenge you is what I'm going to do in the upcoming weeks. It ain't going to be July the 4th. Don't worry. I ain't crazy. I know people are out. But we get after that, though, I'm going to be telling people that I want them to invite. So just be thinking about that. Be praying about who your person might be. Who your person might be. Think about that. But I was then drawn to Paul, is what I was doing, and some scripture that he had that really jumped out at me. And I kind of wanted to dissect through this just a little bit. We're just going to look at a verse at a time, but we're going to pick it up in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7 is where we're going to pick it up. And I want to just open up with that first verse right there. Look at what verse 7 says. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Let's go to the Word. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we come to you right now, dear Lord, over these next few minutes, Father God, just help us to concentrate on what Paul is telling us. Lord, you directed his words when this Bible was wrote. Lord, it came from you. You worked through Paul. Lord, be with us, Father God, as we want to see you, Lord. Today, we want to see you every day in our lives. Lord, working, seeing your hands moving. But Lord, we know that we have to be a part of that. And Father, I want to take our community to the next step. I want to take us, Father God, to the next step. Whatever that step may be, Lord, it's your step, not ours. But God, lead us, guide us, direct us, show us what we can do, Father God, to further your kingdom. That's what we're here for, dear Lord. And we thank you, God, for letting us be just a small part of that, that you use us. You don't have to have us, Father God, but you choose to use us. Use us to glorify you. Use us to, Father, invite other people, whatever the case may be. Help us, God, to be your hands and feet. Just like when you told all the disciples when you sent them out. Father, be with us as we just draw closer to you, as we be in your word. Lord, thank you for this time. Bless our time. Be with us, Lord. These things I ask in your name. Amen. Think about the jars of clay that he's talking about. Think about that. He's not talking about a jar of clay right there. He's talking about your vessel, which is you as a person. Trey, you couldn't have had a better story. I could tie this thing in 1,000 ways. And me and Trey don't talk about it, nor do we discuss our colors. We just show up dressed alike. But we have this treasure in earth, in vessels, that is the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. This treasure is the greatness of the gospel of Jesus Christ is what he's talking about. If you back up into like verse 5 right there, he actually tells you that he says, let light shine out of darkness is what he's telling you. Those jars of clay, be that jar of clay that he's put inside from you. Look at what verse 8 says. It says, well, hold on, let me finish this. When Paul considers us as the vessels, he isn't disparaging us. He isn't the body, considering it merely a receptacle for the soul. Instead, Paul simply compares the value of God's light and glory and the value of what he chose to put in his light and glory into. So when you compare the two, it isn't hard to be amazed that God has put such a treasure into a clay pot. We're that pot for Jesus. We truly are. Look at what he says right there in 8. He says, we are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. 9 says, persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We're hard pressed. This almost has the idea when, think about who wrote these words. Let's think about Paul for a minute, who wrote these words. Now, we know Paul to be one of the greatest apostles that went to all ends of the earth spreading the word of Jesus. But what all did Paul go through? Now, look, think about this for a second. The idea there is almost, when he says, I'm hard-pressed, is almost like he's hunted. Well, think about Acts 23. Remember that? Acts 23, what does it tell us over there? That 40 men conspired together to not even eat or drink until they found Paul and killed him. I mean, think about that. That's in Scripture. But you can back it up to Acts and read it yourself. But 40 men, 40 Jews came together and said, we're taking a vow that we're not going to eat or drink until we kill this guy for what he's doing. Okay. I like to think I handle stress pretty well. But if I know that I had Chris Capps gunning for me across the road, I don't think I'd sleep too good. I would be stressed. Along 40 of them. So think about the scripture from what Paul's telling you and put it into perspective, because this really opens up God's word is what it does. He says, Paul was a wanted, hunted man, yet not crushed, living as a wanted, hunting man, experienced every moment of the day. Yet Paul was not crushed by his stress. He could still serve the Lord gloriously, and that's what he did. Hard-pressed, perplexed, persecuted, struck down. Paul's life was hard, and it was hard because of his passionate devotion to Jesus and his gospel is what it was. He was his hands and feet. Think about, just like we talked about a few minutes ago, that family that got married last night, this is their first day together. And you know what? This is the first day of Greg's new chapter, and this is the first day of Wade's new chapter too. And guess where they're starting day one at? In church. They're starting with their Lord and Savior. They know what's important. It's both active deacons. Think about the pillars that we have, and we think about our church and how we want it to grow and how we want to invite people. When you think about the pillars that are in this church, when I'm talking about the Hardins, and I'm talking about the Carters and the Atchisons and the Bryants, I'm talking about those people who have been here, who made it what it is. And we're reminded of another pillar today in this church that's no longer here with us. Miss Judy Jackson's birthday was today. And you think about the pillar she was for our community, for our church. New beginnings happen to us every single day. All we have to do is seize them. Trey gave you the perfect example that I could not preach another word on. Being the vessel and being available. And brother, I'm with you. It probably would have taken me three times too, because I'm the same way. When we think the good Lord's telling us something, when we see the opportunity in our face, we always come up with an excuse. We do, to walk away or go find something else. Because we go, no, that's not it. No, that's not it. That's just the devil beating us down is all it is when you think about it. That's all that's happening to us. Paul, though, dealt with all these situations, and he never let it slow him down. Look at what 10 says right there. Look at his words. He says, "We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you." By writing, always carrying around our body the death of the Lord Jesus, Paul meant that he felt as if the death of Jesus was being spiritually worked inside of him. He's saying that the death of Jesus was not only a historical fact, but it was also a spiritual reality in his life. Philippians 3:10, Paul speaks about the glory of knowing Jesus, that I may know him and I may know the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Paul wanted to know both sides of it. He wanted to know both sides of it. When you think about that right there, he says, many long to know the power of his resurrection, but want nothing to do with the fellowship of the sufferings that Jesus went through. We sometimes want to skip over that because that's too hard for us to watch. But it's a reality. It's a part of it. That sometimes we need to experience that. It's part of our walk in who Jesus is turning us into for him. Think about that. When you go all over, wherever you go. Trey did 2,881 miles. I did 500 down to, you know, the beach, and I thought I was done for. I couldn't imagine 3,000. But think about the people we encounter every day, even when we're only right here in this area, in Otagaville or Prattville, Billingsley, wherever you're at. Think about all the opportunities to be the light, to shine for Christ. Look at how 13 through 15 right there. It says, "I believed, therefore I have spoken. Since we have the same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. All of this is for your benefit, so that the grace," the unmerited favor right there, the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Paul doesn't even take the credit for it. He doesn't. He gives it all back to the people and says, look at what we're doing. We're furthering the kingdom. That's what it'll do. The grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Paul suffered. He did. And I had a little, if you can flip with me or not, but 2 Corinthians 11:24 says, look at what Paul says right here, what all he's gone through. He kind of lists it out a little bit. He says, 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was pelted with stones. 3 I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day on the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold. I have been naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Wow. Do you feel like you live a pretty comfortable life? Amen, I do. I got cable. I got high-speed internet. Woo-woo. And that's a big deal. I feel blessed. I truly do. What else is God calling us to do, guys? In our church, in our everyday lives, think about what all that Paul went through. Think about all that he did, and think about his words and how he wrote them and how he never got up and all those things I just listed, everything that he has been through, that's been rough. Would you have thrown in the towel by now and said, I'm done. I'm tired of getting beat on. I'm tired of getting beat up. I'm tired of people talking down to me. I'm tired of people looking at me. I'm tired of people putting me on a pedestal. Would you have thrown in the towel? Jesus didn't. He didn't. You think about the pillars of our community, and I guarantee you if I asked each one of them, they'd have a story about how they had to come through something. Christ gives us our strength. Look at what he says right there in 16 through 18. Therefore, he says, woo-woo, Church of Corinth, I'm finna get fired up because this is some good scripture. He says, therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away. You're getting older and older every day. You are. Yet inwardly, though, we are being renewed by day. Praise Jesus. We are being renewed. We're being built up. We're growing closer to him and what he does and what he wants us to be for him. All we have to do is give him the glory. All we have to do is look to him every morning. You hit your knees. Anna this week got this list, and I hate she's not in here, but she's in children's church. Anna this week got this, had a 3-hour meeting on UAB nursing, and they gave her a list, Leslie. Yeah, for sure. It was long. And it was one thing after another. This is what you got to do. This is what you got to do. You got 2 months to complete all this. You got to get CPR certified. You got to get your dust scoped. You got to get these certain shoes. You got to get scrubs. You got to get blah, 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 blah. And if the list goes on, I didn't read the list, okay? It would have hurt my eyes. I stopped. So I was just listening to her. And she said, people are sending me texts asking if I'm okay. One girl's like threatening to drop out already because she's scared to death. You know, of all this stuff, she doesn't know how she's going to get it done. I said, well, how are you feeling? She was like, I'm not stressed. I'm not worried about it. I think I'll make a plan, and I think I'll attack it one by one. I said, good for you. How's your prayer life? She said, it's been good. I said, Jesus helps. He does. He helps us. Paul's telling us the same thing right here, the same exact thing. He says, look at, let's pick it up in 17 right there. He says, for our light
and our momentary troubles are achieving us for eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So, 18, bread and butter, biscuit time of the scripture. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen. You do not put your eyes on anything worldly. You do not do it, but you put your eyes on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Eternal. The rest of it, when it's over, this is a snap finger temporary deal. We're preparing ourselves for eternity is what we're doing, where we'll be with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's exactly what we're preparing for. Don't let the distractions get to you. You have a new beginning each and every day. Take advantage of it. Make the most of it. You pray, pray, pray. You spend time in your word. You look and see exactly what you need. God, what Jesus is leading in your heart. See where he's at. Don't let a single day go to waste. Don't let it. Because just like Paul says, sometimes life is temporary. And it is. We don't know when our time's up. We don't. I hope if you're out there today, I'm right at time. I hope if you're out there today and you're in this congregation, there's a doubt in your mind. Come down and talk to me. I could get pillars down here. I could get whatever you need. I want a special prayer for Brother Steve Wainwright on the road too. Luckily he's going to be back with us next Sunday. We're looking forward to that. I'd love to hear how many miles he's done. It's been a lot. But remember, even though we're hard pressed, perplexed, persecuted, and struck down, we're not crushed. We're not in despair. We're not forsaken, and we are not destroyed. If you have a decision to make today, make it today. Don't delay. Let's close in prayer. Father God, we are just, Lord, your word comes alive for us, Father God. In everything we do, we just want to glorify you, Lord. We want to be able, Lord, to be your hands and feet. We see what Paul went through, the sufferings that he went through, Father God. And we see today that Lord, you've blessed us all. We're comfortable, Father God. And Lord, sometimes we need to get out of that comfort, Lord, and we need to do what you've more called us to do. Help us to be the vessel that you need us to be, Lord, for you, to spread your word, to spread whatever somebody may need. Lord, we pray for Ruth too. Whatever she's going through, Lord, I pray with those doctors, they'll be able to help her. And Lord, we're thankful for Gloria, for Trey, and for sharing, for traveling, for Leslie, for everybody who participates, Father God. Lord, we love you and we thank you, Father. Watch over us, Jesus. It is in your name that we pray. Amen. Everybody, please stand. Leslie, what's him?
I surrender all, 433.